Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you a message that I call, How Long Will You Mourn for Saul? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, we read these words. Now the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself from among his sons. Samuel the prophet was deeply upset. In fact, he had been grieving for some time. He had gone into seclusion and semi-retirement in the Israelite town of Ramah because the plan of God had not come to pass the way he had prophesied it, the way God had spoken it to him. And the king, the very first king Israel would ever have, whose name was Saul, whom Samuel himself had anointed with oil at the word of the Lord, had deeply grieved the Lord, had disobeyed God, and as a direct result, God said that he was tearing the kingdom out of Saul's hands and giving it to his neighbor who was better than him. And of course, that's a reference to David, who eventually became the next king. But Samuel's life and Saul's life were intertwined forever because of this amazing historical progression in Israel. Samuel had boldly proclaimed that God had chosen Saul to be Israel's king because of the cries of the people of Israel to the Lord that they should have a king like the other nations had a king. Even though it was not in God's heart to give them a human king, he relented and allowed Samuel the prophet to select out Saul from amongst his brethren and anoint him king over Israel. Everything seemed to be going fine. The people were excited. They rejoiced. Long live the king, they said. And they began to follow Saul. And initially, Saul seemed to do pretty well. He had some victories. He destroyed the enemies of Israel in several battles. And he began well, you could say. We see the account of Saul being anointed by Samuel, and we find an amazing scripture that says that when God had Samuel anoint Saul, that when he turned his back to leave Samuel, that God changed Saul's heart. So we see a God encounter that this new king had with the Lord. The Holy Spirit came upon him. You could say he had a conversion experience when God changed his heart. And then we see him prophesying with the group of prophets that met him. So we see the empowerment of the Holy Spirit even operating in Saul's life. But things went downhill from there. We see several specific accounts in 1 Samuel of how Saul was disobedient to the Lord. In one specific instance, he took matters into his own hands when he could no longer wait on Samuel. And really, you could say he wouldn't wait for God to intervene. He became afraid of the people leaving him when they were being pressed upon by an enemy army. And Saul did what was unthinkable. He offered the sacrifice himself instead of waiting for the prophet, who was the only one who could do that. And he got a very stern rebuke from the prophet and from the Lord as a result, because he had feared the people and listened to their voice. and God was not happy with him. In fact, in 1 Samuel 15, verse 26, Samuel said to Saul, "You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." So he didn't last too long in favor with God, and then it got even worse a few chapters later when he was disobedient to a specific command of God to go and completely destroy the city of Amalek and the Amalekites. But instead, he didn't completely destroy it. He saved the king alive, and he brought home a lot of livestock. And at that point, he completely had the kingdom taken from him in God's eyes. And that was proclaimed by Samuel the prophet, that the kingdom had been taken from him that day and given to his neighbor who is better than him. So this brief honeymoon period as the king over Israel came to a crashing end. And Samuel, because he had been involved and been part of that, was crushed himself. The Lord says that he was grieved and mourning over Saul. But the Lord said to Samuel in this first verse of chapter 16, these amazing words, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" And it was a rebuke-tinged word of the Lord to Samuel. And he goes on to say, "Since I have rejected him from being king over Israel." And then he gives them some specific direction. "Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." In this passage, we can apply to our own lives some very insightful message from God. A lot of people are still mourning over Sauls in their lives. Saul represents what could have been. Saul represents what looked like great promising future that was dashed to pieces. What could have been but was not. Saul represents people who have disappointed you. Samuel was deeply disappointed and grieving over Saul, since he himself had great hopes and had prophesied great things for Saul. Saul could represent how other people's bad choices and bad decisions have affected your life. Could be an ex-husband or an ex-wife or a parent who abandoned you. Are you still mourning over Saul in your life? The Lord would say to you today, how long are you going to continue to mourn over what could have been? How long are you going to continue mourning over people's sins and how they disappointed you, or how their choices affected your life at one point in history? Do you realize that that choice of someone else, maybe a sinful choice, does not have to affect you the rest of your life? However, it certainly can, and it has many people who would not stop mourning for Saul. Saul can be a situation where a person in leadership severely disappointed you and you've never gotten over it. You're so grieved, you're so disillusioned with leadership, perhaps of a church, that you haven't even returned to church in years. In the over 20 years of my relationship with Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have been in two church situations where the senior pastor fell into immorality. And the first situation was early in my Christian life. And this man was a great man of God, very anointed, definitely chosen of God, an anointed speaker from whom I had gained so much. And it was a shock when this happened. And truthfully, I realize now, looking back, that that situation could have destroyed my life in the Lord had I responded the way many people respond when they are severely disappointed by leaders. But praise God, wise counsel was given to me from the Lord that helped me realize that every single person has a free will, they make their decisions, and everyone's human, and that I cannot and I could not set my affection and my reverence upon a human being, but my affection and reverence has to be set on God alone. And therefore, the disappointments or the failures of humans that perhaps are in leadership in your life will not destroy you. Samuel was so grieved over Saul's failure that he literally went into semi-seclusion. And yet God had more for him than that, and had to give Samuel a wake-up call when he said to him, "How long will you mourn for Saul? How long?" And he told him to get up and go and do specific things, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I want to encourage you that if you've been in a situation like that and you are still mourning over the failures of a leader, perhaps a church leader, or perhaps a Christian whom you had great respect for, who fell into immorality or some other sin, understand, the scriptures tell us that God is able to make us stand. And we have to make a decision, however, to allow Him to help us to stand. And that anyone who stands and walks a holy life has done so only by the grace of God alone. And we cannot focus our energy and our attention and our emotional investment in people and then be devastated when they have a failure, for they are only human. God wants you to stop mourning for Saul. He wants you to get up, fill your horn with oil, and go. God has a plan for you, but if you remain in the pool of grief over the disappointment of someone in your life, you will stay and you will die in that place of despair. God doesn't want you to be taken out because of someone else's sin. He doesn't want you to be taken out of the service of the kingdom of God because you're so grieved over someone else's failure. God wants you to arise and fill your horn with oil and go, and then He'll send you, meaning He has an assignment for you. He doesn't want you to stay in this pool of grief over someone else's disappointment or failure. When other people have disappointed you or their choices have affected your life, such as a spouse, perhaps, who was unfaithful or left the family, or a parent who abandoned you, even though those are extremely painful situations to live through, God has a way of redeeming even those matters. God can bring you from a place where you have been in a pool of grief and take you out and stand you up and fill your horn with oil, fill you with His Spirit, refresh you, cleanse you, and put you back on the path where you can be of service to the kingdom of God and where your life can have purpose. But if you refuse to allow Him to do that, if you refuse to obey God in this area, you will truly be hindered the rest of your life. In Carol Thompson's beautiful little book called The Bruises of Satan, he recounted this story. A beautiful young couple followed the call of God to a foreign country. With great expectancy, they made many sacrifices to go. Arriving in that country, they were assigned to an older missionary. They found he had misled them as to the work he was doing. They could not be a part of this deception, yet their remaining in the country depended on his consent. They encountered deception after deception until finally they came home disillusioned and hurt. At home, the wife fell seriously ill. There was a struggle with bitterness and hurt. Had God let them down? The enemy almost overwhelmed them until healing came through releasing the hurts of this person who had so severely disappointed them. Understand that that missionary couple could have been completely taken out of service for God, their relationship with God severely wounded, had they chosen to continue to focus on the failure, the disappointment, the deceptions that they had encountered with this other Christian. But they allowed God to heal their hearts and not take it and hold on to them. God is calling to you today to do likewise. God doesn't want you taken out of service for Him, nor does He want you to be crushed in your emotions. God wants to show you He can fill you with joy again. He can fill you with hope again. He can give you a vision for your future again. Satan wants you to have all your vision consumed with the past. God wants you to keep your vision fixed upon Him. Then you can have perfect peace, as Isaiah promises us, to that person whose mind, whose vision, whose thoughts will remain fixed upon God. Are you lacking in vision today because you are so bound up in the past, in the hurts of some Saul in your life? Make a decision that you are not going to mourn for Saul anymore. You're not going to mourn over what could have been. You're not going to mourn over how other people have disappointed you. You're not going to mourn over how other people's choices affected your life. Whether it's an ex-husband or ex-wife, a parent or a child, God wants to lift you up today and say to you, don't mourn for Saul anymore. Instead, fill your horn with oil. What does that mean? God gave Samuel specific instructions, and He was trying to lift him up out of this pool of despond that he had fallen into, grieving over Saul's failure as the king of Israel, and the fact that his own life was interwoven with Saul's because of his part in anointing him king. God gave him these instructions. First of all, fill your horn with oil. The horn was the horn of an animal, usually a ram. And in biblical days, the horn was used to be filled with liquid, and it would have a covering that would seal it at the top. And it was used to hold liquids. And in the case of the prophet, he would fill that horn with oil, and the horn itself was symbolic of strength. And this oil-filled horn would be used for special, significant moments when God would speak about anointing a person or a place or a thing. God's saying to you today, if you've been mourning for Saul, stop mourning for Saul, fill your horn with oil. What is your horn? It's the place of strength. And in our lives, the place of strength is in our human spirit, because if you're a Christian, in your human spirit resides the Spirit of the living God. So your place of strength is not in your emotions. It's not in your physical body. It is in your spirit that's filled with the Spirit of God. So God is saying to you, fill your spirit with the oil. And that oil is represented throughout Scripture, representative of the Holy Spirit. God says to you today, fill your human spirit with the Holy Spirit, with the things of God, with the thoughts of God, with all that God has for you. Go and be filled again. Samuel was obviously at a place where he'd let the oil run dry in his horn. You may have let the oil run dry in your spirit because you've been mourning for Saul for so long. But God says to you today, fill your horn with oil. Perhaps you have not stepped foot in a church since your severe disappointment with church leadership. God is saying to you today, go and get your horn filled with oil. Go to a place where the Spirit of God is moving. Go to and be surrounded by believers who love God with all their heart, who know the Word of God, who have the Holy Spirit, and be in that environment where the Spirit of God is moving and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and keep being filled, as it says in the New Testament. And then the Lord said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go. He gave him an instruction that he was to get up and move. He was to make some progress in the direction of the will of God for his life. God wasn't setting Samuel aside just because Saul erred and disqualified himself. Just because someone in your life, and maybe it's your spouse or your children or your parents, they perhaps have done things that have disqualified them for service in God's kingdom for this season. God's a restorer. He can even restore them no matter how far they've fallen away, and pray that that will come to pass. But meanwhile, do not look upon yourself as equally disqualified or set aside because other people in your life have failed. God's saying to you, you fill your horn with oil, get yourself filled with the Spirit, and get up and go. Begin to make progress, take steps toward the purpose and the destiny for your life. God has not canceled your destiny, even if your life was intertwined with someone else, such as in a marriage covenant. God's saying He can still use you, regardless of what others have done. Go, take steps towards your destiny and toward what God has for you. And then the next thing the Lord tells him is, I will send you. But he required him to go before he was going to send him. Isn't that kind of odd? But it's really not, because God looks to see if we will be obedient before he will give you orders regarding your next assignment. You are required by God, I am required by God, to take steps of faith before we know where we're even going. Joshua was told that he was going to a place he had never been before, and that's the way God operates. He'll make you go, and then he'll tell you about it later. He'll say, you're going somewhere you've never been before, but I'll lead you. But he wants to see if you're willing to be obedient, to stand up and step out and make those steps of faith. And then he says, okay, then I'll send you. You'll be a sent one. You'll be a messenger for God. You'll be one God can entrust with a purpose and with an assignment from God. And it's interesting, where did God send Samuel? It says that he sent him to Jesse the Bethlehemite. The word or the name Jesse translated means Jehovah exists. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. God was sending Samuel to the house of bread, the place where God's provision was, the place where God's revelation, as the Word of God is often called the bread of life. He will send you to a place where you'll get revelation, where you'll get fulfillment, where you'll have provision, and you'll know Jehovah exists. Jesse's name, Jehovah, exists. But you have to be willing to fill your horn with oil first. You have to be willing to take steps of faith and go first. Then he will give you your assignment. And then when you go on this assignment, you will find provision, you'll find revelation, and you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jehovah exists. And when he went there and obeyed the Lord, that was the place where the anointing oil flowed again. He was able, because of the assignment of God, to have part in anointing David to be king over Israel. God will then send you to the place where the anointing is flowing. That's all the time I have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Don't grieve over Saul. Fill your horn with oil and go. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it. No bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it.
and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around.
God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-KEY-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.